We are continuing in this message series, talking to you about the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Awesome.
The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, who he is, his personality, his work in the earth, his work in every believer.
Right, yeah.
And his desire, what he's doing, the work of the Father to carry out the will of the Father in the earth today. And so we're talking about, again, who he is and how he leads us, because it's just so important that we each understand that if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you, and he is your teacher and your guide. He's our leader and our guide. And it's God the Father, where there's a triune God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father and Jesus are in heaven.
Correct.
And so it's God the Holy Spirit who's now at work in the earth today. And he's the divine power of God, really, is who he is. And he's in the earth. The power of God, Scripture says in the Gospel of John, to convict people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And he's the power of God in the earth to carry out the work that the church is meant to do to establish the kingdom of God here on the earth. You know, God the Father has a will. I've been saying this. I think sometimes we miss it, because if you've been in church for any number of years, you've heard the Lord's Prayer.
And it's, right.
It's our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And what's the next line of that prayer? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, or your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus said, this is how you, to the disciples, this is how you need to pray. This is what we're praying for. We're praying for the will of the Father to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So God has a will, and he has a purpose, and he has a plan. And the Holy Spirit is in the earth to help carry that out, to carry out the plan and purpose of God. And the plan and purpose of God, of course, involves you and involves me, because you're not an accident. You weren't just born in the earth for no reason. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He knew the day and time and the generation that you would be born into.
Right.
And he knew for such a time as this, you're here.
Right.
And the church is here, and the church is here to do God's will. And so we need the help and the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. We're not just born in the earth and then, well, I just try to figure this oftentimes crazy journey out on my own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And God the Father has graciously given us him to be our leader and our teacher and our guide to dwell on the inside of us. Yeah. And there's just no greater miracle when you think about
Come
it.
On.
That God himself would come to dwell inside of a person, a fallen, a sinner. It's an amazing miracle when you think about it, that he can forgive us, cleanse us, and put himself on the inside of us. And we bring his presence everywhere we go. And yet, sometimes, you know, in this series of messages, and we started to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You start talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit and what his work is like, and let's say the supernatural gifts of the Spirit to manifest in our midst. We believe in the laying on of hands.
Yep.
We do believe in the gift of speaking in other tongues, the personal prayer gift of that. And when you start talking about some of these things, that God still wants to manifest his power in the earth today, people start to get nervous. Don't you? When you maybe first heard, you're like, well, wait a minute. But there's nothing to get nervous about. There's nothing weird about the supernatural power of God. You know, just think about the billions of dollars that Hollywood spends on movies to portray the demonic in the supernatural. And people spend $12 a crack just to go sit for an hour and a half and really be deceived by the supernatural on the dark side. And yet, I don't know why we come to church then. People get fidgety. We start talking about the Holy Spirit's supernatural power. We should be like, Our minds just need renewed.
Amen.
And that's what's happening as we look through scriptures, because when we, there's nothing weird about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit,
that's
or sensing
for sure.
His presence, or acknowledging that I need you, Holy Spirit, come empower me, help me, lead me, teach me, guide me, open my eyes to see the world the way I need to see it, the way God sees it. Thy will be done on earth. You know, your body's made out of earth, on earth, dirt, on earth, as it is in heaven.
That's right. This bag of dirt.
Yeah. I mean, we are actually wired for this kind of communication.
Come on. Hey, come
because
on.
When we are born again, we are born of God's Spirit. He comes to dwell on the inside of us. God is Spirit. So it's spirit-to-spirit communication with the Lord. That's normal Christianity. When you read through the book of Acts, you see how much the Holy Spirit helped them, led them, spoke through them, prophesied through them, worked miracles through them. Demons were cast out by the power and help of the Holy Spirit.
With the finger of God.
I mean, Philip was translated from one town to the next.
20 miles away.
Yeah. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, what should become weird or abnormal to us is to not want that. That should be the weird thing, to be a believer, a Christian, and go and be afraid of it.
Right.
Because this is normal. Open up the book of Acts. This is normal Christianity. But the thing is, we need to hunger for that.
Come on.
We need to thirst for that,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, come on.
And I believe as we speak about it and hear about it, something starts to stir on the inside of your true believer.
Come
it's
on.
Like, I think I want a little bit of that. I remember when we first walked into a prayer meeting where people were speaking. They were praying in their understanding. They were praying in the Spirit. They were worshiping in their understanding. And some of them were worshiping in the Spirit. And I remember we walked home from that meeting. Do you remember that day?
No.
And we looked at each other. We said, I don't know. That was a little bit different. It was a little strange, but I liked it.
I want more.
I want some more of that in my life, because these people have some passion and some power going that I felt like I wasn't seeing anywhere else in the church. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and liberty.
Come on, that's right.
And so we need to open up our hearts, open up our spirits, and say, Holy Spirit, I pray that over this. We've been praying this all week.
Yep.
To come and meet us in this place. We sang that song.
Be hungry.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Yes.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
That's right.
And when you sing that, when we sing that in faith, something happens. We don't sing our songs just to have four songs that take up 20 minutes of time. We're singing these songs because we're inviting the presence of God.
Yes.
We need Him.
Yes. Yes.
We've been praying He shake this place.
Yep.
Let's shake the city.
Shake us.
Yes.
First, you got to be hungry and thirsty for the Spirit of God. For the things, you can't be just satisfied for where you are. Come on, are you?
No.
Are you happy where you are?
No.
Do you want some more? I mean, do you want God to move in your life?
Yeah.
Or are you going to just sit here and think, well, I'll come to church.
Move, Lord.
Come
right.
on.
Move,
I'll
Lord.
Sit here. I'll watch everybody else. Look at them. Yeah. Oh, my. Look at them. Don't you want this?
Yes.
Don't you want Him?
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit's not a thing. The Holy Spirit's not a mist.
Exactly.
However, there is a glory cloud, and I have seen it. It manifests. It's a discerning of spirits. That's another gift of the Holy Spirit. He allows you to see into the spirit realm. That spirit realm is happening right now, right as you see. Do you know this room's full of angels?
Yeah.
Do you know that the Holy Ghost wants to lead you? The Holy Ghost is, if you're born again, you brought the very divine nature of God in here.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you have the divine nature of God in you, and you yield to that, you yield to Him, what do you think He's going to do? Huh? What do you think He's going to do? He's going to do something good for you.
Right.
He's going to reveal Himself to you. Just like the Bible says, He'll convict you of sin. And of righteousness, which means He'll show you which way to go. And for those unbelievers, He'll convict them of the judgment to come so that they can come and turn into what is righteous. He's not a mist. He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. You brought him. He's in you if you're born again. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, he is in you.
Yeah.
See, your body, you're. This is how we are created. We're a spirit. We have a soul. That's why you're thinking. And we live in this body. This body's going away. It's going away. And if we stay in the natural realm where this thing rules us, again, it's dirt. Dirt and water. Which means mud. So, are you going to allow a bag of mud to lead you and guide you because I feel this way?
No.
No, you're not. See, he's in your spirit. He's in your spirit, and it's the Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart, your inward man. This is how he communicates with you. This is how he talks to you. I think what happens is we don't pause and think about the awesomeness of what treasure we have within us. We're all guilty of it. I mean, really, we need to meditate on this miracle that a holy God is so gracious enough that if we call on the name of Jesus, he'll impart his very self into us. It's remarkable. Look at what it says on our outline here. It says, yet to all who received him, he gave them the power to become children of God, those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor the will of man, but you're born of God.
Yeah.
You're born of God.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, he's trying to bring the reality of the Holy Spirit to his disciples, and they did not understand. Jesus told them, it's better that I go to the Father and he'll give you another comforter,
yeah,
a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby. I want that.
Yeah.
I want all of those functions to be a reality in my life, don't you?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you got to do something to invite him and allow him to do it. You know, this, he says another comforter. You know that means another identical to the first.
Yeah.
You can write that on your outline. Identical to the first. Identical to Jesus. This is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not like, Paul was pretty good. You know, Paul did a lot of stuff. I'll give you the spirit of Paul. No, he said, I'll give you the spirit of myself.
Yeah.
That's what you have.
Yeah. Awesome.
We got to meditate on this. Do you want this to manifest in your life?
Yeah.
You want to bring the kingdom of God everywhere you go?
Yeah.
Well, we got to spend some more time thinking about this. We got to spend some more time just allowing it to happen. Jesus gave us the substance of his spirit. And it's in us. It's in our spirit. Okay? It's in your spirit. The spirit realm is real. That's where we connect with the spirit of the living God.
And there are several different metaphors that God gives to describe the workings of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And I think these are really helpful to picture because Jesus gave them to us in the picture. Like in John chapter 4, when he meets the woman at the well, and he describes to her, he says that salvation is like a well of water within you. He said, if I give you this water, you won't thirst anymore, and it'll become like a well, a spring of water welling up and bubbling unto eternal life. Think of that picture. On the inside of you, The Holy Spirit, the well of, creates a well of salvation on the inside of you that's like a spring of water bubbling up unto eternal life. Just, I mean, sometimes you have to just close your eyes and think about this stuff and think, wow, I've got this well of water on the inside of me bubbling up unto eternal life. Can you just, I mean, I do this, I just close my eyes and I like to watch and just think of the water that would be flowing all through my body, going up to my head and down my arms and down through your legs.
Coursing through your body.
Coursing through your body. Yeah. A well springing up unto eternal life. I think some of us need that well primed a little bit to see it. We do. Because in Isaiah it says, with joy will I draw water from the well of salvation. Yes, with joy.
Yes.
So when I think about that on the inside of me, it should bring me some joy.
Come on.
I mean, if you were walking along and you found a spring of water welling up into eternal life, wouldn't you go like, wow, hallelujah's right. Yeah. So it's on the inside of you and me if you're a believer.
Right.
That So when you start to say, oh, thank you, Lord, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your confusion, you're actually drawing water from the well of life on the inside of you. That's that joy of the Lord that can become your strength. And then there's another a picture that he gives. He says, "If any," in John 7, Jesus shouted at that feast, if any man be thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he said, from his innermost being, here we go again, on the inside of us will flow rivers of living water. And he spoke, it said, of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was yet to come. And so there's a well on the inside of you and me.
Come on.
Then there's a river of life that comes from it. That's really what's meant for other people. So when you lay hands on somebody, you're thinking, I'm just letting this river come out of me. That anointing that comes from that river of life on the inside of us. But we do have to meditate on that.
Yep.
It's good to just close your eyes and think, see a river. The river coming from that well, just coming out, flowing out. Who would you like me to touch, Lord, with this river of life? And then he gives another metaphor about fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, like on the day of Pentecost. And he says that he described the Holy Spirit not just like fire, but he said he came like a mighty rushing wind.
Yes, there we go.
Blew through that house. And tongues of fire resting upon them, likened to fire.
Yes.
And they were overcome. It said they were overcome. See, it's like that river just came out of them. That utterance came out of them in the Spirit. Or they were worshiping God and praising God in unknown tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's a metaphor of a well. There's a metaphor of a river. There's metaphors of wind. He comes through like a wind. Sometimes we need to have him blow through our heart, blow like a wind in our heart.
Yeah.
To blow out some of those stuffy areas in our heart.
Like, can you say amen?
Like, Lord, let the wind of your Spirit like blow open some of these. Let the windows open. Let your air flow through in some of these places that have been kept dark and shut. But it's helpful for us to meditate on these things and not just read the word of God in one dimension,
right,
a word on a page.
Yeah.
Because a picture can say 1,000 words, really, when you begin to look at this the way it is. And so God has a plan and purpose for our lives, and there's no way you can walk it out. We cannot fulfill it without understanding who dwells on the inside of us and how to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows the plan for your life. You know, last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in an unknown tongue. You pray in an unknown tongue. You speak out mysteries and secrets. The Bible declares this, and those mysteries and secrets are for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know them? Wouldn't it be nice to be on the path, the correct path, for the next 3 years of your life so you could produce fruit for the kingdom of God? Yeah. These mysteries and secrets are important. Because if you don't pray them out, then that means somebody else has a burden to pray them out. And suppose they don't. That'd be a bummer. So God is asking you to get involved. He is. You know, this it's a powerful release of the Spirit, and it's for everybody. The Bible declares it. Look at what this says here in Romans chapter 8. This is really important. Listen, are you listening with your heart? Are you listening with an inward man? Are you aware of the Holy Ghost speaking to you right now? All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Are you being led by the Holy Spirit?
It's a whole new way of living. Being aware of the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? You know, you got to have a listening ear on the inside. Inside. Not these flappers. On the inside. You know, the Bible, look at this next scripture. For the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we're really the children of God. That's the hidden man of the heart. He's going to speak to your heart. Your Bible probably says he'll bear witness with your spirit. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Doesn't mean you're going to hear words. It means you become sensitive to the Holy Ghost so that you, oh, there's a prompting. Sometimes it's like this. It's like, oh, this is what I want to do. And the Holy Ghost will be here saying, like a red light or something. You understand? He's not going to slap you upside the head. He's going to be very subtle. You have to listen to the still small voice. Other times it's going to be like a yellow light. Yellow light means kind of like, wait. I want you to pray it out a little more in tongues because it's a mystery and a secret. Other times you'll have that smooth silk feeling. Green light. Yeah, I'll do that. But you know what? If we don't ask, you missed all the signals. You miss them all. And you're just running in the flesh, running in the natural. You know, we have to learn. We have to really learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what we want. You got to get into neutral at times. That means you have a desire, and your flesh will say, yeah, come on, let's go get it right now. You got to get in neutral. Say, Lord, is this? And you just wait for the direction of the master. But it's so noisy out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So noisy, static everywhere you go. Jason was telling me he's pumping gas. There's a little TV telling everything, giving the news and the weather and everything. I don't need that pumping gas. You know, my doctor told me, I was just at a visit here last month, and you know what he told me? He says, how to live a good life, healthy life, besides diet.
Exercise.
Exercise. Where's Andy?
What you did yesterday.
Where's Andy?
I tell him.
Yeah. Oh, Andy told me yesterday, you're always in some kind of shape. And I said, yeah, I'm in poor shape. Exercise, diet. And you know, he said, this is my doctor. He said, 2 20-minute periods of meditation, silent meditation. That's my doctor.
A day.
That's my doctor. And he knows I'm a pastor. He says, you already got that. I know, but he's saying that. So this is where we are. Quiet meditation, allowing the Holy Ghost to talk to you. Because you meditate like this. And sometimes you don't ever get out of this chapter. It's true. Because he says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I am, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. You want to experience that? Holy Spirit and fire. God's word is spirit and life to our spirit.
Right. And God's word in Hebrews 4 tells us that his word is actually alive. And I know many people would look at the Bible, well, it's just an old, dry, ancient book written a long time ago. But it's dry to people. It may be dry to you because you approach it with your natural mind.
There. Boom. That's good preaching.
I mean, to get anything out of the word of God, you have to approach it in faith.
Yeah.
You have to approach God in faith.
Yeah.
Because Hebrews 11 says, mm-hmm. without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Right.
And whoever would come near to God must believe that he exists, and he's the rewarder of them who seek him.
Amen.
So what God is saying is, if you're going to come to know me, you must approach me by faith. You have to come on my terms.
Right. Right.
You don't approach God with your now, well, this is what I think you say. You got to just throw that out. This is part of going in the neutral.
Come on.
And going, I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to believe that you're real. Speak to me if you're real. Like, if you're real, and that's even saying, I believe that you could be. You're approaching by faith. And see what you get. You read books about people who were atheists who started out determined that they were Lee Strobel, one of them.
Right.
Case for Christ, you know. You're going to prove God doesn't exist. But he did approach it going, okay, I'm going to just see what this says. And then he was compelled after he kept reading and studying that this book just may be alive and real. And it's kind of like this live wire. When you touch it in faith, when you approach it in faith, it's like touching a live wire. Ow! Oh, something happened.
You're going to get something.
I mean, look at Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And it's able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Here.
I mean, God's word, when you hear it, when you read it, has the power to expose the innermost thoughts of our heart. Some of you have said to us after a sermon message, that just, how did you know that was speaking right to me? I didn't know that, but the Holy Spirit knew it.
Yeah.
He's the one piercing, moving into hearts.
How about last week?
Yeah, last week people had told us when we spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just listening, some of them in the service, some of them are just listening to the message outside of the service during the weeks. And I felt like I was just compelled, like, to start praying in the Spirit.
Yep.
Like a wave of the Holy Spirit just hit me as I listened. That's some of these things.
It's reality.
It's the proof that it's a living word.
That's where he wants us to live.
Approached in faith. And
yes.
It'll affect your mind. It'll affect your emotions.
Come on.
It'll affect your physical body even.
Truth.
Because Proverbs 4:22 says that God's word is life to those who find it. It's healing and health. It's like medicine. One of the scripture translations says it's medicine to all their flesh.
Come on.
So when we approach it as a healing word to bring wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, it will begin to do a work in us when we approach it by faith. But we have to personally ask the Holy Spirit to give us revelation this way.
Correct.
You have to interact and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and say, well, acknowledge him. You're the Spirit of truth. Reveal to me. So when I read
yes.
this word, reveal to me. Engage with him as a real person,
come
with
on.
The Godhead
come
who
on.
Lives on the inside of you. Don't be afraid, because Jesus said, ask and seek and knock, and the door will be open to us, right?
Yes.
Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me understand who I am in Christ.
Yes.
I feel like my thoughts go in this direction, but I see something here. Open my eyes to see it, my spiritual eyes. That's how we pray and ask the Holy Spirit. And God, this is on our outline, is willing to fill the hungry and the seeking heart.
There it is. Come on.
He's willing. If we ask and we seek and we knock, he's willing to fill a hungry heart, a seeking heart.
Not the skeptic.
Not a skeptic. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend, meaning
on.
Understand and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. Some of these things are mysteries, but they are mysteries to be searched out and discovered. That's why God says, ask me, seek and knock. And not just once, not just twice. It means ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open.
Come on.
So we have to just honor the Holy Spirit for who he is in our life if we want to see him work.
Right, and the church will never fulfill its purpose unless it yields to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Never. It won't ever. It'll never fulfill its purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence will not be found where it's not honored.
Where he is not honored.
That's got to lay, not just in churches, but in your own personal life. He'll manifest in your life if you honor him for who he is. The devil has made it all like weird and goofy. But we invite him by faith. And you must do that for your own life. Yeah. He is here right now. He has been here. If you're born again, you brought him. But there's a corporate anointing. When we were praying during prayer worship, he was moving in this congregation. He is moving on your heart. He's been moving on your heart ever since we started talking. It's a different anointing, you know. But the invitation is not to the skeptic. It's for the hungry heart. Are you hungry for more of God? I mean, really, are you hungry for more of God?
I mean, consider on the day, we talked about this the last couple of weeks, on the day of Pentecost, when 120 people were in that upper room waiting for what Jesus said, wait, to be endued with power from on high. And those people were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, if you will. Some people thought when they heard them, the people outside heard them, they thought they were drunk. It's kind of an interesting picture because they must have been laughing. They must have been worshiping God so joyfully that they were like, these people are, they're drunk. And then Peter got up finally and said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody here is drunk. But they were overwhelmed by the infilling of the Holy Spirit in their life.
But you got to cry out sincerely in faith. Whether you live on the earth, here, everywhere, anywhere, you got to cry out and ask him to come and touch you. You got to ask him to come and touch you.
And Peter on that day,
yeah,
you know, he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. He got up, spoke boldly, preaches this sermon,
come on,
telling the people. First of all, he said, what you're seeing and hearing is the beginning of what was spoken of by the prophet Joel.
Yes.
That God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, that his sons and daughters would prophesy, and that young men would have visions and old men would dream dreams, and that God would show wonders in the sky above and on the earth, blood, fire, smoking, vapor.
Yes.
The moon will be turned into blood before the day of the Lord comes. And so he said, this is the beginning of that experience. And we're still in the book of Acts, if you will.
Come on.
It's not completed. That was the beginning. We are still in the book of Acts. And Peter told them that this gift of the Spirit of the baptism was for you and your children.
Yes.
And your children's children is for as many as the Lord would ever call to come to him. And so when you read through the book of Acts, the lost people were drawn to this supernatural power. They weren't repelled. They were drawn by the power of God that was there. And God is still pouring out his Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit fire when we pray and ask God for that in our own lives. The fire that fell on them on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit's fire that would come upon you.
The same.
And me. Isn't that awesome?
It's the same. It's the same.
It's the same fire. He's still moving where he finds faith in a heart.
Right, right.
The wind of the Spirit has been blowing through the earth, through men and women's and children's hearts since the beginning, since just like that on the day of Pentecost. And people think, I mean, this scripture, we put this up on the screen. It's the Luke 11 scripture. It says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is Jesus speaking. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it'll be opened.
Mm.
People think, well, I don't know. What if this is maybe still strange to you, but look at verse 11. If a son asks
there
for bread from any of you who is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent instead of a fish if you were a father? Many of you are fathers. Or if he asked for an egg, would you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Come on.
Right?
Yes, very true.
So if you cry out sincerely to God in faith, I want to be baptized. And this is not, we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking and praying in an unknown tongue. It's not just a one-time experience.
Right. Come on. It should be daily.
It should be daily. It becomes just part of your personal prayer life. But the other thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire is that the fire fell on the day of Pentecost. And fire has a different effect.
Yes.
than wind, even, if you will. Right? Because fire, what does fire do? It ignites. If it comes upon you, it ignites a passion on the inside of your heart. Fire burns things up. It burns up chaff in our life. Right?
The prophet called the fire down from heaven.
Yeah. It kindles more fires.
Come on.
Your fire can kindle another person's fire. And people come to watch a fire. Even. People stand around a bonfire. It's like, whoa, this is just fun. But we want to be fire starters,
Amen.
If you will. Fire igniters, if you will. I mean, on the day of Pentecost, when all that was happening, that was the beginning of the church.
Come on. That's right.
Nobody was running for a fire extinguisher going, put this fire out.
Oh, no.
Which is really, I think, what happens in many churches today. Ooh. You talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's like, let's put this out. Let's not go there. No, we want to go there.
Yes. Who wants to go there? Yeah. We're fire starters.
Yeah.
It's reality.
Yeah.
It's real.
We're not going to get to the end of this message.
Keep your outline.
We have a lot more filling. We're not going to
keep your outline.
Yeah.
You know, I want to give an invitation. First of all, I'm going to give two invitations. The first one is you might be here and you're not even born again. Maybe you've been coming for a while, but you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You know, you've never had your sins washed away. I'm asking you right now. Do you want to be born again? If you do, raise your hand. You want your sins forgiven? It's by faith. You call Jesus into your heart. You come to him as who he is, Son of God. And he's the only one who could forgive you. Anyone at all? I'll just raise your hand high enough so that I can see it. Anyone at all? Be born again, born of the Spirit of God. Very good. Very good. Pastor, maybe you want to lead us in the second one?
Well, we just have a few minutes here at the end of the service. Last week we gave that invitation, if anybody wants prayer, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and even in faith to come so that the Spirit of God, the fire of God, can just come upon you. Because again, this isn't just an experience to say, well, you know, that day in November, whatever today is, in 2018, right? I was prayed for and I did speak in other tongues and that was kind of cool, and then it all just fades away. The better experience really is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in fire and you ask for that. You say, I want you to take a hold of my heart. I want a burning passion for you in my heart. Because I'm telling you, in the days ahead, you're going to need it. For the way the world is going and the darkness that's out there, we need a boldness. We need help from the Holy Spirit. And the church, I think, has just sat around too long going, well, this is okay. I believe the Lord wants to baptize and fill people who are hungry. Believe in the Pentecostal fire can still fall today. So we want to give just an opportunity, an invitation to...
Let's all stand right now. Put the words up to this song. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come on up here right now. Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken tongues, I want you to come up here right now. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty for the things of God and you want more of God, this is how you get more of God. This is how you get more of God. Start to sing, Mary. All right, come on. Anyone at all. This is time for you to step into the things of God. This is the time right now for you to fulfill your destiny, because you cannot fulfill your destiny without following the things of God. Yielding your heart to Jesus by His Spirit.
Can I say something here too? You're going to say, if I come up there, what's going to happen? I don't know exactly what's going to happen, except that I do believe in a transfer of anointing and the Holy Spirit in fire. Let Him do what He wants to do. Maybe He'll speak to your heart about your life. Maybe He'll give you revelation on the inside. I don't know. Maybe you'll want to feel like crying. Maybe you'll feel like laughing. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say. So we're just going to close out the service. If anybody wants prayer, we're not dragging people up here. This is just an opportunity. If you feel like I'm already filled with the Spirit, but I just want to come up and pray a blessing over me, I'll pray the fire of God. We'll pray the fire of God. Stir it up. Stir
here
up
we
the
go.
Gift on
come
the inside.
On.
Anybody?
Come on.
Came here with nothing. All you have given me. Jesus, bring me wide out of me. Blessing, you are making new wine.